All right, nice to have you back with us. First of all, Bill Lasky is at the Wall of Fame today, which honors Bob Lurie, the former owner of the San Francisco Giants. He saved the Giants from being moved, and thank goodness for Bob Lurie and Bud Herseth back in 1976. And Bob Lurie goes up on the Wall of Fame today. So Bill played for the Giants while Bob was the owner, so Bill was invited to be there today, and I hope he enjoys it, and Bob Lurie deserves it very much, very much, and I'm glad Bill could be there. The Dodgers have already won. Scherzer, 7 shutout innings. The Dodgers beat the Reds 5-1 today. So a little bit of pressure on the Giants to keep pace with a game tonight against the Atlanta Braves. Joining Kerry and I, Susan Slusser, who covers the Giants for the Chronicle. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing good, and, you know, last night, of course, was, I say, one of the games for the ages of the ballpark, but for me it was the it game. It kind of brought everybody together. The place went nuts on the Solano home run, and I just want to get your feelings being there last night and what you felt when all that went down.
Yeah, I'm with you, Marty. That was a special game. They've had a lot of special games this year. It's almost hard to rank them. But for me, one of the things that was most prominent about last night's game was that we saw a lot of the things that have really worked together to make the Giants so good this year and make them so dramatic. You know, we've constantly seen these guys just join the roster that day, and then their first at bat, whatever, you know, coming off the IL, just getting called up, whatever. They seem like they hit a pinch hit homer. Donovan Solano does that. And then, of course, some crazy mixing matching from the bench. We've seen that all year, but are you kidding me? A starting pitcher winds up with the game-winning RBI. You know, I'm a longtime American leaguer. That blew my mind. So I loved everything about it. And then after the game, Logan Webb and Kevin Gosman were just hilarious. The whole thing was, you know, hey, for a baseball writer, right on deadline, an 11-inning game is not ideal. But in this case, I will allow it. That was pretty fun.
Oh, Susan, it was so interesting to see the way things played out at the end. But one of the things that stood out to me sitting a few seats away from you was how many people in that Oracle Park crowd actually stayed until the end. They weren't deterred by the Travis d'Arnaud home run. Donovan Solano brought them back in it. And the 11th inning felt like the place was just as packed as it was in the 5th inning.
Yeah, I kind of had to laugh, actually, when Gosman was talking to us after the game, Kerry, because at one point he said, like, you know, it's 3-2 and the crowd is all cheering, and that was such a special moment. When he went up to the plate, I was hearing some boos. You know, I was like, Kevin, I hope you didn't hear the boos there. Because, you know, the bench was empty. There was nobody else, and obviously he was the, you know, sure, if Logan Webb hadn't started the game, maybe he would have been the choice, but Kevin Gosman is, you know, he pitched in the National League for a while. He could handle the bat a little, and he actually had an idea what he was doing. You know, he was sitting fastball and figured he was going to get strikes, so he was swinging, and I loved that. At 3-2, and I know, Kerry, you asked a couple of times on some of the calls about, you know, why do you think about maybe just trying to work the walk? You know, it's the starting pitcher with the bases loaded. That's kind of the ideal, really, for a pitcher, get the bases loaded, walk. And everybody was like, oh, no, he's just going to swing away there. And I was kind of thinking, really? So I was with you, but, wow, it worked out.
Yeah, look, he got a good swing on the ball. And, you know, and they had to come in, Webb had to come in, and they hit the ball. And, of course, you know, you guys were there. I wasn't there last night. But was it deep enough, Susan, when Gosman hit it? Did you think that it was a no-brainer? Because Crawford had one of those amazing slides again across the plate. What did you think when the ball was hit?
You know what? It was medium, you know, so it was borderline. But Crawford, you know, we've seen how Crawford just hustled all year. And it was apparent from the second he took off he was going to do everything he could. Step slow sometimes trying to stretch here recently, so it wasn't a no-brainer for sure, but it was a great slide, a great send, everything. You know, when it works out, it's great. It would have been a bad way to lose a runner there for sure if it hadn't worked, but they do their homework. That was the right call, and it was just all just enough in terms of the fly ball and how deep it was and how much he beat the throw by. Just probably on either side.
Something I don't think we really got into is the play before, Susan. Crawford had an opportunity, bases loaded, no one out, fly ball to left field. I think Steven Duggar may have hit it. And Eddie Rosario makes the catch, and he doesn't challenge. Was there any surprise in your mind that he didn't go there and did go when Brandon Belt was going to be coming up to the plate with two outs?
Not really. That one was a little more shallow, I think. When the ball went in the air, I thought, like, okay, this will be interesting. But as it settled in the dub, I thought, it probably, especially with, some more outs to give, no.
Boy, what a game. What a game. The Giants win at 6-5. When I opened up the show, I said, well, the score was 6-5, but believe me, that's not the story. So much went on last night, and, of course, it's nice having Susan on to recount some of it, but the Solano home run for me, Will Smith just hanging that slider with two strikes, two out, and it was just magic, and the place really went crazy. So here we go today. It is Alex Wood, Susan, on the hill today. He had COVID, and he, they always say, oh, not bad, no symptoms, this and that. He had it pretty good, and he is out there today. What do you expect from Wood today?
Yeah, that socked him really good. And even, after he threw his that live batting practice session the other day, he came back the next day and said, yeah, still some fatigue. So I would be hard-pressed to think that he gets more than two-plus innings. He threw 21 pitches in that live BP session. That kind of the rule of thumb is you go up 15 pitches your next time. That puts them 35, 36, 40, somewhere in that range. If they want to push it, they got to be careful here. This is not a guy they want to be fatigued and put at risk to get hurt. The last thing they want is two bullpen games a week the rest of the way. So I think they'll err on the side of caution. This is to get him stretched out. This is essentially a bullpen game just with Alex Wood starting it.
And, Susan, I think it highlights, in talking about Alex Wood and all these bullpen games the Giants have had, how important Logan Webb has been to this team over the last 2, 3, 4 months now. Ever since the All-Star break, I think 5 of his last 7 starts have gone 7 innings. If Logan Webb goes 3 or 4 or has a bad start, the Giants' record does not look like it does right now, because there's been so many days when he's just been brilliant, saved the bullpen and given them a shot to not just win that game, but the next game too. And I think that it's given them a shot to win today because he went 7 innings last night.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been the second half MVP of the pitching staff. Absolutely, for sure. Gausman gets the honors for the first half. You combine their 2 years or their 2 halves. Wow. You got a Cy Young winner, which, most teams do not get that kind of production from 2 different starters, each one kind of picking up just a spectacular half. And it's been more than that, It's been since May. Logan Webb has just been nailed. And the youngest member of the rotation, he's the one they can now build their rotation around in the future. He's the one that for sure is coming back. And his attitude has just been fantastic. He's obviously pleasant, funny, and very accommodating. But on the mound, you can tell he is not a guy who's going to give in. And it seems like he's really kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, Trey, because you obviously saw him pitch last year and I didn't. But it seems like he's really learned to attack and keep attacking, even when things, maybe aren't quite going the way that he wants them to.
That's the big difference. That's absolutely the difference in his game, Marty.
No, I agree. And, I always say, and Jim Barr taught me this years ago, Susan, that if you're hoping, you ain't pitching. And he's pitching. He's not hoping. He has a plan, which is exactly what you just described and Kerry concurred with. And, it was interesting because Kevin Gausman got the Good Guy Award, and that's, voted on by you guys and the BBWAA chapter in San Francisco. But, heck, I would have made a good argument for Logan Webb. I think he's the best quote on the team.
Oh, he is. I think he is the best quote. He's got a lot of years to win it, Marty. We all certainly hope. So I would have to say that if you want to put down money on next year's BBWA award, and I know there's a lot of action on the local chapter Good Guy Award, I would say that he's certainly an early front runner. He's phenomenal. But as Gabe Kapler pointed out, with what Gausman has had to deal with this year, you know, he's had so many big things happen, including his first All-Star game and that magnificent first half. But he had all that, you know, really pretty serious family stuff going on with his wife being hospitalized, you know, in the final month of her pregnancy. It sounds like it was pretty scary stuff. And he, you know, he just dealt with everything so well. He handled everything like a pro, which you would expect, but it's hard. You know, he went through some hard stuff, and he was just as accessible and kind and friendly as ever. You know, he really is a good guy. He's the ultimate, like Gabe Kapler said something yesterday, like he's an A-plus guy. And I would say that is 100% true. So, Logan, you know what? This just gives everybody something to strive for next year. That's really what I
want
to say.
Susan, I think you can back me up on this. I mean, there are years when it's difficult to give out a good guy award because the teams are bad. No one wants to talk about the club's performance. This year, I mean, we had 5, 6, 7 valuable candidates who, obviously, like you said, there's not much action on this award, but the Giants, not just a great team on the field, great team for quotes as well in terms of what they give us, how they share, and Logan Webb and Kevin Gausman. I'm glad you brought it up earlier, but last night going back and forth about the opportunity for pinch hit at bats was probably the best back and forth we've had this season.
Oh, so funny. I mean, this on the heels of the Brandon Belt naming himself captain stuff.
Right.
I had kind of thought for the first half of the season this was a very good team and a very nice, very pleasant team, you know, really fun to cover, but without necessarily a lot of color or big personality. The personality is starting to come out here down the stretch, and I absolutely love it. But yeah, this, you know, we love it when we're in a situation to really have to make a tough choice on the good guy award, because there's nothing better than a great clubhouse.
How about the guy who catches Belt's home run is wearing the C on his shirt? How about that?
I love that. That should just be a thing. You know, when the Giants go in the playoffs, everybody should be out there with a, you know, their own handmade C on whatever they're wearing. I would love that.
Very good. All right. Every team needs something. All right, but what about the injuries? Can Cueto come back? Can he give them some help? What's up with McGee?
Wow.
How long is he going to be out for?
Oh, these are the toughies, Marty. Ask Carrie. No. You know what? Cueto, I would be really hard-pressed to see Cueto making a start. You know, maybe he does something a little bit like Wood probably is going to do today, makes a start and throws a couple innings just to see if he's available, say, in the bullpen in a postseason. Obviously, in a postseason situation, you don't need 5 starters. And if he's available in the bullpen, I'm not even sure he's necessarily a playoff roster guy right now. They would have to see. So maybe that's what they're trying to do, is to get him ready, to see what's there, to know if they need the option or if they have another injury in the rotation. He's a possibility. But I just, you know, it's very possible he has thrown his last regular season pitch for the Giants. It's very 50-50 in my mind. McGee, I seem to think he will be able to throw a live BP maybe the last week of the season, which maybe means he gets in a couple of games before the end of the regular season. That's going to be a little dicey, too. I think the 27th or the 28th we could get him into a game if he throws live BP one of these days. Get pretty close to the end of the season. That's the last week. So it's touch and go, but it sounds like he would be an option for the season. And, of course, as a reliever, he does not have to be stretched out. As long as he is throwing that 96-mile-an-hour fastball, I think they're fine.
Yeah, and I wonder if the calculation for the ninth inning has changed at all, Susan, over the last 24 hours. I know the Giants don't make rush decisions, but I've always thought that they want Tyler Rogers against the best pocket of hitters. Last night, it was probably the eighth inning, and he got burned in the ninth inning. They go with Dom Leon. Yeah. He gets through Albies and Freeman and that tough part of the order. But I wonder if they would go with a Tony Watson or a Dom Leon and just let Tyler Rogers work out of the jams in the seventh and eighth like he's done so far this season.
You and I were both kind of asking questions about that before yesterday's game. Like, where would you use each guy? And my impression from Kapler was kind of exactly what you're saying and what we would have expected, right? We'll just keep using Rogers against the portion of the lineup where we feel like he's most valuable. And I'm with you. I would say it's that top part of the order. Yeah, it's it's such a rare stumble by him, and such a, you know, the bullpen has just been absolutely, it's hard to question bullpen management when it's been so strong all year and you've just lost your closer. But remember the last time Tyler Rogers blew a save?
Yep.
He came back and used him the next night in the same exact opportunity at L.A., and Tyler Rogers nailed it down, and honestly, he's been on a roll ever since. So I kind of think almost the same thing. Like, if it's a save opportunity tonight, Tyler Rogers is probably getting the same opportunity, really for that reason, the whole confidence and belief factor.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I was thinking the same thing. Kapler did the same thing in L.A., and he's not going to deviate right now from that plan. Susan, Wall of Fame today for Bob Lurie. Of course, Bill Lasky is there today, and he was part of the team when Bob was the owner, so that's where Bill is today. But Bob Lurie saved the Giants. I always said he should have a statue. Peter McGowan should have a statue. Horace Stoneham should have a statue. These are very important people. I'm glad for Bob Lurie today.
Yeah, you know, I got to cover the Bob Lurie Giants a little bit when I was at the Sacramento Bee. I don't know him well, but I do know him to be, you know, such a really solid, fantastic, like, just a great, kind of, for an owner, kind of a normal guy, it seemed like. But yeah, anybody that saves a team should be in that team's Hall of Fame for sure. I love it when off-the-field people are honored, including owners. Obviously, there's always fans that are going to say, like, oh, why are you giving it to the, you know, the zillionaire or whatever. That was back in the days where it was, you know, fewer, like, big-time billionaires and more like businessmen. And he's from that area, and he really did. He did a lot for Bay Area baseball, and he did some smart things, you know. He's probably the reason the A's did not wind up in San Jose, because he was part of that whole idea about, you know what, we'll split these territorial rights, and we'll take San Jose. So also smart from the Giants then.
Boy, we could do a whole show on that. Susan, thank you so much for thanks for being on. It's look, I love it. I'm glad you could be part of the show. And have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Susan.
Okay. All right, that is Susan Slusser of the Chronicle. All right, we'll take a break. As I said, Bill will do extra innings tonight. He's got Gary Lavelle as his guest tonight, so don't miss that. He's over at the Wall of Fame, Bob Lurie. Celebration today. So we'll take a break. I'm going to come back with my interview with Bob Lurie. I was lucky enough to visit him in his home a few years ago and got a lot of his story and why he is such an important part of the San Francisco Giants. So we'll take a break. I'll come back with Bob Lurie and his thoughts about Candlestick and many other things right after these messages.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.